Hi, this is Anastasia Penrod. I'm sitting with Joseph Reen at this marvelous 2022 NSH convention here in Reno, Nevada. We're talking about his poster, Histological Assessment of C1Q Expression and Deposition at the Neuromuscular Junction, NMJ, in tibialis anterior TA tissue of SOD1G93A mouse model. So welcome. Can you tell me about your poster?
Yeah, so to start, I want to make sure that everyone's clear that the SOD mouse model that I'm using is a mouse model that's widely used in order to evaluate ALS. And what I've done is develop the protocol in our company that successfully shows C1Q deposition at the neuromuscular junction. So in ALS, what you typically see is muscle atrophy. And how does the neuromuscular junction come into play with that? So your nervous system and your body is like a complex system of wiring. In a similar fashion, the wiring in your home is very complex, and there are signals or electricity that travels through that wiring to plugs in your home. And let's say in the morning you want to plug in your coffee maker and you expect for that coffee maker to work. In this analogy, your muscles are the coffee maker. And a defaulty plug leads to lack of the ability for your muscle, or in this analogy, the coffee maker, to work properly. So what I've done is developed a protocol in our lab so that we can properly assess that in this mouse model. And the importance of C1Q deposition at this neuromuscular junction, or faulty plug, just to keep the analogy together, is that with C1Q deposition, you typically end up seeing muscle atrophy as a result, or what we hypothesize is that C1Q deposition, or C1Q expressed by macrophages at the neuromuscular junction, leads to muscle atrophy. And ways that I was able to confirm this hypothesis was by doing things such as, when evaluating the NMJ, we went through it and we manually counted neuromuscular junction density. And with neuromuscular junction density, what we did was we were able to determine a correlation between the NMJ density and muscle function. So how we measure muscle function is using an electrophysiological marker, CMAP, which labels three different types of muscle function. And with those three different types of muscle functions, we were able to show when there's a decrease in NMJ density, there's also a decrease in muscle function. In addition to that, we were able to show that there are classical complement markers that were upregulated that we were able to measure using ELISAs in combination with my histological analysis. We were able to label classical complement markers that were seen in these muscle tissues.
That sounds very groundbreaking for for this ALS. Are you guys going to be able to transfer this into a diagnostic capacity anytime soon, or is this just solely going to be for research purposes?
Well, the goal is to determine rationale for why we should be able to evaluate this on the clinical side. At Annexon, our goal is to develop therapeutics that help in several areas of neurodegeneration, autoimmune indications, as well as several ocular diseases. So we would hope that with this rationale and with this successful preclinical analysis, we should be able to move into the clinic and successfully be able to help people by inhibiting the classical complement pathway.
And I love that you guys are able to do that in the future and see that. But what was your motivation to start this model and change it into a histological model?
So ALS is a disease that is a debilitating disease. There are people that suffer from this worldwide. 5.2 in every 100,000 people are affected by ALS, with about 5 to 10% of that being familial, and with 90% of it being somewhat sporadic, but still genetically linked. And that's why it's important for us to evaluate this mouse model in particular, because it does directly show ALS traits in this mouse model.
Is this an illness that your company has a passion for, or somebody that you're close with that really gets you excited and said, yes, we need to find more answers?
Yeah, I think that the moral of the story is that this is a disease that it's important for us to make a change, for us to be able to develop therapeutics that can help. And there are definitely several people in our team that have been directly affected by ALS. And our company as a whole sees the need for people that are dealing with this disease to find some kind of help.
That's fantastic. Did you find any challenges when you were developing this method?
So, yeah, in my protocol development, there were several hurdles that I had to overcome. So
it was necessary to do a lot of research, see what kind of work has been done in this area prior, what kind of histological assessments have been done previously. And some hurdles that I definitely found was being able to standardize my antibody protocol, my incubation times. So I had a lot of issues with, so bungarotoxin, which is a nicotinic acetylcholine receptor marker, it binds to the nicotinic choline receptor postsynaptically. It's a highly specific, highly expressive marker that you generally don't have any issues with. But now in our analysis, it's important that even if you have that postsynaptic binding, so the NMJ sits kind of like a cup in your muscles, and then the postsynapse comes in that essentially comes from your spine to and binds at the NMJ.
So it looks kind of like you're holding a cup, like that little kid game where you have a cup and a ball that falls on top?
Exactly. That's a great analogy. And what's important is that we're able to see that pre and post synapse. So now, even though we didn't have any issues with labeling at the NMJ, we needed to see that presynapse coming in and binding in order to properly evaluate. So if we're seeing postsynaptic labeling, is this an active NMJ?
So that was your major challenge. How did you overcome it? If you need to see it in both post and pre, like...
Yeah, so it was necessary for us to evaluate different things, like tissue thickness was one that we really took into consideration, because what we found was that if the tissue thickness wasn't appropriate, it was common that we would cut through the NMJ. Other things that were necessary was for us to orient the tissue properly, so proper orientation. And then we evaluated things like, do we see proper labeling with tissue that are fixed, so fixed or perfused with PFA, or is it better for us to perfuse with PBS? Is it better for us to embed our tissues in section? Because majority of our analysis was done in OCT embedded tissues. But do we see better labeling if the tissues are flash frozen as opposed to being embedded in OCT? So those were all things that we evaluated, and then inevitably we came to a protocol that worked really well.
And I don't remember seeing anything on antigen retrieval. Was that also a challenge? Did you guys use heat, or what method was it?
So we actually didn't evaluate any antigen retrieval. Well, actually, we did early on. Early on, we did try several antigen retrieval methods. We actually tried acetic antigen retrieval buffers as well as basic antigen retrieval buffers. And we really didn't get great antibody staining that way. But that's what led us to explore, well, maybe it's the way that the tissue is being fixed, because it's muscle is somewhat a difficult tissue to stain sometimes. So that's what led us to exploring things like maybe it's the fact that we need to flash freeze the tissues, or, you know.
So like any process in histology, it's those pre-analytical factors that really make or break your stain, your test, and, you know, the end result.
Exactly.
So can you compare this to ELISA? You've said that in your poster that the ELISA was basically the gold standard. How has it changed and, you know, change our idea of running this test and in the future making it easier and more available?
So I don't think that this will in any kind of way replace the need for ELISAs, because ELISAs is a very simple method in order to determine if there's a target that you want to measure.
More of a complement?
Yeah. I think that what this does in combination with ELISA, it actually gives us the opportunity to visualize the pathology. We're actually able to see, and as opposed to, you know, ELISA data being somewhat like dots on a chart, dots on a graph,
you actually get to visualize the pathology. This is a method that we could use to also assess and quantify different levels of actually what you're seeing. So if you want to measure, so now that we've been able to use ELISA to determine that the markers are present, can we measure the level of expression? Can we, when we visualize the pathology, can we measure that expression at the NMJ, for instance?
That sounds great. When someone walks away from looking at your poster, what 3-5 words do you think you want them to think about?
3-5 words?
Like the legacy. Think about your legacy of this poster. What do you want people to take away and be like, this is it?
They're on to something.
I like it. I mean, you guys are. You are absolutely on to something. And this is going to be groundbreaking research to help people with ALS. You don't just do this research because it's the work. It becomes internalized and you become part of it.
Exactly. And doing this kind of research, because I'm really into fitness, I think that this actually helps me understand a lot of, you move your muscles every day, but then when you get into this type of work, you actually understand, like, okay, so with your mind-muscle connection and different things of how the synapses play a role in muscle contraction. Because in ALS, with failure at the NMJ, it leads to inadequate muscle contractions. So now that you evaluate that on that level, you actually kind of throughout your daily life start to realize, like, okay, so these are the type of issues that people that ALS are facing. And I think that that's a different aspect that people don't really talk about. Like how you start to equate some of what these patients are dealing with to your own life.
Absolutely. Anything else you want to add to it?
You know, this has really been a great project that I've been working on. I really hope that, you know, that we can be impactful in the industry and ultimately develop some type of therapeutic that can really help these people.